Well, we are doing a series. This is week two of a series that we are doing called The True Vine. And we're just taking our time to look a little bit, going into depth from John chapter 15. So if you want something to be reading over the next few weeks, just be reading John chapter 15, just over and over, maybe different versions, different translations. Maybe for those of you who are really keen, you could learn Greek for, you know, do a crash course in Greek and go into the original language and see what it's all saying. And last week, you know, I looked at the idea. So to kick off the series, I looked at the idea of, you know, the first verse says, I am the true vine and my father is the gardener. So we really focus on verse one of chapter 15. And it was really, there's a lot in there. And I talked about how there's a whole idea of this, that resonates with lots of people, this theology throughout the Bible of gardening. And, you know, the Bible starts with a garden and it ends with a garden, with a city built around it. And the Bible, you know, God is a gardener. That's what Jesus says. That's what he reveals to us, that, you know, we all have fathers. Some of us have had great fathers. Some of us have had fathers that haven't been the best of fathers. But we all have a heavenly father who is a gardener, who is a cultivator, who looks to bring out the best in every situation, who wants to take away the things that don't belong in our lives and wants to add to us everything that we need so that we can flourish, that we can be fruitful. That's what we want, right? That's what humans are looking for. We're looking for flourishing. We're looking for fruitfulness. That's, you know, that's why we do also, that's why we educate ourselves. That's why we work hard. That's why we interact in community, because we want some kind of flourishing. We want some kind of life. We want some kind of impact. And, you know, we can do that to our own, in our own strength to a degree. But if you had, imagine if you had a mentor who, you know, a billionaire. Imagine you had a billionaire mentor who would open doors for you, who would give you connections, who would say, "Hey, you know, there's something wrong with your diet. I'm going to provide for you a nutritionist and a personal cook, and you know, and all they use all their resources to make sure that you could be the best version of you you could be. Imagine that. Would that be pretty cool? Yeah." Well, I think we have that. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, my Father is the gardener. He is the one who is highly motivated to bring out the fullness of you, your fullest potential. So Jesus said, my Father is the gardener, and God has always been the gardener. From Genesis to Revelation, he walks through his garden of creation. He walks through his garden of creation, and he looks at it and he does different things in it. He prunes, he fertilizes, he grafts from one place to another. He walks in the garden just like he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve before they fell away from him. He walks with them. He walked with them. And one day, you know, he knew something was wrong, but he walked in the garden still and he looked and he searched and he found Adam and Eve hiding from him because they had rebelled against him. But he inspects and he looks. He doesn't inspect in our lives. He looks in all through all of creation, generally speaking, as a garden. But our life is a garden as well, right? And he looks in our life and he inspects our life. And sometimes that can cause a little bit of anxiety. You mean God's looking at me. He knows everything that's going on in my life. He knows the good stuff, the bad stuff. He knows the things I'm trying to hide. Yeah, he knows all that stuff. But he loves you and he walks into the garden of your life and he says, I want to remove this. This is not healthy for you. If I remove this, you're going to have more joy. You're holding on to it because you think you need it, but actually, you don't need this. I'm going to give you something better. And, you know, I love this idea that our Father, God the Father, is the gardener, and he is a cultivator of glory. What he is growing for himself, why he made creation, why he made us, he is wanting to cultivate, he's wanting to grow, he's wanting to water plants, and of, you know, to bring about more and more glory for himself. He's wanting to show everyone how beautiful he is. Like a gardener who, you know, Mike is a gardener. I was just telling this before. Mike is a gardener. He's growing daffodils. And every time I go over to his place, he says, "Hey, Ken, look at my daffodils." And I said, "Yeah, you showed me them last time." He said, "I don't care." No, I'm embellishing a little bit. But, I mean, it's true at least to say that most times I've been over, he said, "Look at my daffodils, Ken." I go, "Oh, yeah, you showed me those already, Mike." And it's because there's a sense that they're beautiful. There's something aesthetically pleasing about them. There's glory there for Mike because he's been able to look after and cultivate these daffodils that bring glory to him. That's what God does. He cultivates glory for himself through our lives. He is a cultivator of glory, and so are we. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. We represent God to the rest of creation. We represent God to the galaxies. We represent God to other human beings, and we cultivate glory. So what we represent God is like human beings being the image of God. We are the hinge between God and the rest of creation. We represent God to the rest of creation. That's what we're made for. And that's one way, from God to the rest of creation, we represent him. But from creation to God, there's something else that we do. What we do is from creation, through our music, through our child rearing, through our education, through our legal system, through our businesses, through the way we have family, the way we deal with employers and employees, everything else that we do in creation, the way we plan cities, the way we do healthcare, the way we play sports, you know, the way the West Coast won yesterday, all that kind of stuff, everything, all that we do is cultivating glory. Well, this is what we're meant to do. We're meant to cultivate glory in creation and then give it back to God. So from God to creation, we represent him to everyone. And then from creation to God, what we do is everything that we do is for God's glory. And we take it and we give it back to him. And we're that conduit between creation and God. I love that's the high level that we have as human beings. I mean, I find that fascinating. I love that. I want to live in that. That's who we are, actually. We exist to honor God. We exist to be cultivators of God's glory in creation. So, that was last week. Also, Jesus said, "He is the true vine." This is still in verse 1. "I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener." Jesus is the true vine. And I made this point that there's an implication here. If he's the true vine, then there must be false vines. There must be false sources of life. There must be false sources of fulfillment. There must be false sources of promises, false sources of identity. And we don't need to think too hard about what they might be. You know, I made the point that could be addictive things, things that are, you know, we feel like I need this drink, I need this, I need to win this gambling game, I need to get a new level in my online role-playing game. And that was my own personal addiction that I had. And so, you know, I try to find life and fulfillment from that. But often addictions aren't life-giving. There might be a momentary moment of pleasure, but there's this sense of I'm a slave to that. And then there's good things that can be false vines. It can be relationships, it can be career achievements, it can be all sorts of different, it can be money, it can be all sorts of different things that cause us to that there are a false vine that we're plugged into. So Jesus is the true vine and there are lots of false vines. But let's go back into the passage. That's a recap from last week. I'm going back into the passage. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 5 today. So John chapter 15, verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me. He prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruit. You are clean already because of the word I have spoken to you." Oops. "Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in me, the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me you can accomplish nothing." This is Jesus saying, "I'm the true vine, you need to remain in me. You need to be connected to me. You need to have an ongoing relationship with me." You know, we can all be here in church, and obviously we are all here in church. That doesn't necessarily mean that we are abiding or remaining in Jesus. Does that make sense? Just because I'm in church, just because I go to McDonald's doesn't make me a hamburger. You've probably heard that before. Just because you go to church doesn't mean that you are connected to Jesus, that you have an ongoing relationship with him. Remain in me. What does that mean? There's something deeper than just going through religious motions and ticking boxes. Oh, I read my Bible today, tick. Oh, I've gone to church today, tick. Oh, I told Ken he's a really good preacher today, tick. You know, all that kind of stuff. That you don't have to, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, have an ongoing relationship with me. Plug into me as the source of your life and your fruitfulness. So in this, Jesus is talking about vines and that he's the true vine. And we've talked about how there's many false vines, but there's one particular vine that was the false vine of Jesus' audience when he was talking to them. And so he was thinking of one false vine in particular. And that's the false vine of Israel. So in Isaiah chapter 5, there's this parable that the prophet Isaiah shares and talks about the vineyard, that God's people, of that his chosen people who were meant to show the rest of the world what it was that the promises of God could do. In Isaiah chapter 5, it shows how God had a plan to choose these people to make a difference in the world, but it all went wrong. And that they failed in their mission effectively. So Isaiah chapter 5, Jesus, he reverts to the, that Israel is the vine. And Isaiah chapter 5 says, you guys are a vine and it all went wrong. You were meant to be fruitful, but you didn't bring forth fruit for me. And then Jesus, even in his ministry, he talks about a parable of a vineyard and it talks about how there's a vineyard that someone made and gave it to tenants, and the tenants were meant to look after and get fruit from it and give it back to the landowner and all that kind of stuff. And they were bad tenants and they didn't do what the landowner wanted. And once again, and Jesus was even saying, what will happen is that it will be taken away from these bad tenants and it will be given to new tenants. And the people hearing said, no way, because they understood that the vineyard referred to Israel and that what was being taken, and what Jesus was saying is something's going to be taken away from Israel and given to other people. And they said, no, that can't happen. We're God's chosen people. So the people that Jesus was speaking to in this time, they had this idea that just because they were genetically a part of Israel, that they were descendants of Abraham, that they would always have the promises of God. That because they were children of Abraham, so to speak, they were racially Israel, that they would be God's chosen people based on that only. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not right. I'm the true vine. So when Jesus is saying, for them, that for Jesus' audience, they'd be thinking, well, the true vine's Israel. That's who the true vine is. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm the true vine. And if Jesus is saying he's the true vine, he's also saying that he's the true Israel, the true chosen people, the true chosen person. Obviously, Israel was given the law through Moses, and they were given a mission, weren't they? They were given a mission to be a blessing to the rest of the world. And they failed in that mission over and over again because they disconnected themselves from God. But Israel did bless us because out of Israel came Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I am the true Israel. I am the true Israel. I am the true representative of God. And Jesus is saying, if you plug into me, if you have an ongoing relationship with me, if you plug into me as the true vine, then you will be part of all the blessings, of all the promises that were given to Israel. All the blessing, all the promises. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. I am the true Israel. I am the true nation of God, and I invite you to be a part of me. I mean, that's useful to me, right? Because I'm not Jewish. I'm not racially, genetically connected to Abraham. I was apart from all of that. I don't think anyone else here is Jewish as well. And so, Jesus is saying it's not about a racial connection anymore. It's about a relational connection to me. It's not about genetics. It's about relational connection with Jesus. Jesus is saying to his audience, just because you're Jewish, that means little. I'm the true Israel. Become part of my nation. Just, and we can put it in ways that mean something to us. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're connected to Jesus and have an ongoing relationship with him. Just because your parents are Christian doesn't mean you're connected to Jesus and have an ongoing relationship with him. Just because you're a staff member at church, just because you're a senior pastor at a church, doesn't mean you're connected to Jesus and that you have an ongoing relationship with him. All that means little. What truly counts is, are you connected? Are you plugged into Jesus? Doesn't matter who you are, we can be plugged into Jesus because he is the true vine, the true Israel, the true custodian of the promises of God. So what does it mean, the true Israel? So Israel was given a mission to show the promises of God to the rest of the world. Jesus is saying, Israel failed, I'm the true Israel. Now I am the true custodian of all of the promises, all of the blessing, all of the provision. Everything that Israel was meant to do and failed in, I am going to do it in myself. And you don't have to be racially Jewish anymore. You just need to plug into me. And if you plug into me, all the promises that were meant to flow through Israel will flow through me instead. And you can be a part of it. Doesn't matter who you are. The promises of Israel are yours if you are in Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't even just matter what your genetics are. Doesn't matter what your history is. Doesn't matter what your future looks like. Your future might look absolutely bleak. Doesn't matter. You might think, I haven't got education. I haven't got good looks. I haven't got skills. You know, all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your past is like. Doesn't matter what your future looks like. All that matters is if you plug into Jesus, all of the promises that Israel was meant to give to be a blessing to the nations, they're available now in Jesus. So the promises of peace, the promises of blessing, of provision, but most importantly, the promises of God's presence and the promise of God and of participation in the life of God. We have that. All right. So Jesus demonstrates this promise for us. He demonstrates the promise of the presence of God. That's what Israel had. They were custodians of God's presence. But they were also custodians of participating with God. They were the ones on mission with God. Jesus demonstrates this promise for us of presence and participation. You know, Jesus, he is, you know, the true God. Not only is he true God, he's the true man, the true human being. Jesus is the true vine, absolutely. But not only is he the true vine, he's the true branch as well. Isaiah verse 11 says this, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. So Jesus is the vine and the branch. He shows us how to be branches plugged into himself in a sense. He shows us what it means to be a custodian of the promises of God that can change the world. Not only blessing, not only provision, but the presence of God. This is what we were made for. This takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What we were made to be in God's presence moment by moment. To walk closely with him. Jesus is full of the Spirit. Jesus demonstrates the promise of presence and participation that's available to us now. So what do I mean by presence? Jesus was full of the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit of God, of wisdom, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, of fear of the Lord, of counsel. And Jesus is full of the Spirit because he's the true branch. And so we can be full of the Spirit as well. We can be full of the Spirit of the Lord, full of the Spirit of might, of power, of counsel, of knowledge, of wisdom, fear of the Lord. The presence of God, just like we were meant to in the Garden of Eden. And participation, Jesus demonstrates the promise of participation. What is it about human beings? We look to be part of something. We want to be part of something bigger. So at the MCG yesterday, what was it? 50,000 people barracking for Collingwood, 50,000 people barracking for West Coast or whatever, supporting them. These are people, they're so emotionally invested in men running around kicking a leather ball, right? If you break down football to what it is, it's why? They're just men. And we laud them as celebrities. We think of them as role models. All they're doing is kicking a ball around the field, right? I mean, of course, don't get me wrong. I like sports. I like football. I like Aussie rules football. But if you break it down, that's a manifestation of our desire to be part of something bigger, right? We all want to be part of something bigger. We all want to belong to something, don't we? We all want to belong to something. We want to belong to something that's bigger than what we are. And so, whether it's we want to belong to a family, you know, we want to belong to a sporting team, we want to belong to a political party, we want to belong to something. Well, Jesus, that's all indicative of wanting to belong to something so much bigger. And I think that's the mission of God. That's the mission of God to bring healing to the world. God demonstrates the promise of presence by being full of the Spirit. And he demonstrates the promise of participation by being full of the Spirit of wisdom and might and power and counsel and knowledge, fear of the Lord, to do something, to make a difference in the world. You know, if we plug into Jesus, we gain access to God's presence and we gain access to his empowerment to do what he's called us to do, to go on the mission that he has for us. Jesus shows us humanity's potential. He's truly God, but he's also truly man, truly human. He is full of the Spirit of God. He's full of God's presence. We can be full of God's presence. I should be able to walk into a situation and things change, not because I'm consciously doing something, but because God is with me in a powerful way. If I have an ongoing relationship with Jesus, I'm abiding in him and remaining in him. Jesus shows us humanity's potential to be full of the Spirit, God's presence, but also to be empowered by the Spirit of God, to participate in what God is doing in fixing a broken world. You know, I've always looked to belong. I've always wanted to belong. You know, I moved around quite a lot growing up. My dad was in the army. Every couple of years we'd move to a new army base. My dad would have a new job. I'd have a new school to go to, new friends to make. That first day at school, I had that many times. The first day at school. First day at school in a new town, in a new city. Never in a new state often. I moved from one state to another. And I have no idea who these people. And I hope I belong. I hope I connect. I hope that there's people who will come around me. I hope I'm accepted. And some places I was. And some places I wasn't. You know, we all look to belong. I've always wanted to belong. I've always wanted to have, you know, this sense of God being with me, right? And I've always wanted to belong, but I've always wanted to be significant as well. I've always wanted my life to mean something. None of us want our lives to mean nothing, right? None of us just say, you know, I hope I achieve nothing in my life. I hope that after it's all said and done, that my life just amounts to nothing and that there's no net impact from my life at all. I just want my life to be meaningless. No one says, I want to live a meaningless life, right? You know, we all want some kind of meaning. And I think Jesus demonstrates for us the promise that God has for us by participating in something so much bigger, by being empowered to be on a mission that's so much bigger. So going all the way back, everything was broken. We broke it all, right, as human beings. God's plan was to bless the world through Abraham. To bless the nations of the world through Abraham. Through Abraham came Israel. Israel failed at their job. But Jesus comes along out of Israel. A branch will come out of the stump of Jesse. You know, so a branch comes out. And then here we have this branch, the true branch, saying, I'm the true vine, actually. I'm the true Israel. Plug into me and everything that Israel is meant to do, you will do. Everything, all the promises that was given to Israel, you'll have. You will have my presence. You will have my empowerment. You will be able to participate in the mission to bring blessing to the entire world. Or I found my belonging. I found my significance. You know, I hope that you can find that in this as well. I hope that you can find in this place somewhere to belong to. I hope you can find in this place somewhere that can add significance to your life. I'm not saying your life is meaningless right now, of course. I'm not insulting you. But I'm just saying that there's something so much deeper significance. You know, I've always looked to belong. I've always looked to be significant. It's what all humans want. And there's lots of ways to do it according to the world's way. You know, be rich, be beautiful, be powerful. You know, say things that people want to hear, all that kind of stuff. You know, who's ever changed their behavior to try and fit in different places? See all those hands go up. You know, I have changed my behavior to try to fit in, to try to belong. The world's way doesn't work. It didn't work for me. I don't think it would work for you either. But Jesus, as the true vine, as true Israel, brings the real promise of belonging and significance through having the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to participate in God's mission. Maybe I need a backup keyboardist because Kira's popped out for a moment. Do you mind? Thanks, Derek. Just wrapping up. You know, this kind of church that we are, we are Pentecostal church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues, and that's, you know, that's who we are. Sometimes one problem, and I love that. I love that aspect about who we are as a church. But one thing is that we can rely on a past event to replace a ongoing reality. We can look back to the time we were baptized in the Holy Spirit and we started speaking in tongues. Say, oh yeah, I'm full of the Spirit. I'm empowered by the Spirit. I spoke in tongues 10 years ago. I haven't told anyone about my faith since then, but I am empowered to do the mission of God because 10 years ago I spoke in tongues. And we can, you know, we can go back to that, right? We can look back at a moment and think, well, because I checked that box, it's all done and taken care of. Or we can look back to, you know, I'm a Christian because when I was 5 years old, I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Will you save me? And we go, yes. Well, I'm a Christian and I have God's presence. I'm participating in his mission. But we're not, because that's not what Jesus is saying in John chapter 15. He's saying, I want something so much more than a one-night stand. I want an ongoing commitment. I want a relationship. I want a covenantal connection with you. Let's not look to the past and say, oh yeah, we had a moment, Jesus. Jesus is saying, I want you to remain in me. I want you to be connected to me. I want to have an ongoing relationship with you. Jesus, as the true vine, as true Israel, he brings the real promise that all humans are looking for, to belong and to have significance. And he brings that by being the true branch, the one who's full of the sevenfold Spirit of God. Spirit of the Lord, of counsel and might, strength, wisdom, and knowledge of the fear of God. Full of the Spirit, not just true branch because he spoke in tongues once. And if we would plug into Jesus, abide in him as a true vine, true Israel, what all human beings are looking for, belonging and significance, we can have. The whole point of the metaphor of the vine and the branch is that it's an ongoing relationship. It's organic and it's real and it keeps on going. You can't be separated. Jesus is saying, abide in me and be fruitful in my Spirit. So, God the Father, he is the gardener. And as the gardener, one day he walked in his garden and he saw that the ones he made to represent him and to cultivate glory for him in creation had actually rebelled against him, shaking their fist at him and said, we want nothing to do with you. We want to be our own rulers. We want to be our own kings. And in doing that, they broke everything. Everything got broken. Our relationship with God, our relationships with each other, our relationship with creation. But he set out to fix it. He saw, okay, you guys have messed it up. I'm going to fix it. And he planted a vine that would bring life. Part of that vine was the vine of Israel, but it failed. But out of that vine of Israel, a branch shot out and it became the true vine, the true branch, the true Israel. Jesus is that branch that became a vine. Jesus gives us what Israel was meant to. What does he give us? He gives us the presence of God. He gives us participation in the mission of God. What does he give us? He gives us belonging. What does he give us? He gives us empowering. How does he give this to us? Through ongoing relationship. Ongoing relationship. Belonging. Empowering. That's what humans want. You know, this week, I've been to two birthday parties. One was at my house. Another was outside of my house. I had two birthday parties. Do you think a birthday party can be a place of belonging? I think a birthday party, I suppose if you're invited, maybe it can be a place of exclusion if everyone tries to hide from you that's going on. But at least for me, because I was there, can it be a place of belonging? Can it be a place of empowering? You know, absolutely. The birthday party at my place, the person we were holding that party for, and she got up and shared how she felt. She said, you know, I'm so thankful for you guys. I feel like I belong. I feel like I'm family. I feel like that, you know, there's, you know, maybe if I pressed her, she might even talk about the sense of significance, right? She's not a Christian. But she belongs. And I'm believing and praying for the day when she truly, deeply belongs as a sister in Christ. Had two birthday parties this week, and they were places of belonging. They were places of empowering. Now I want to ask you guys this, right? Because what I'm talking about is how we are called to abide in Jesus. Are you abiding in Jesus? Are you relying on something from the past to replace an ongoing relationship? You know, if I was to walk with Kira and say, Kira, you know, we got married nearly 15 years ago now. I signed the papers. We're married, right? I don't actually need to spend any more time with you. Legally, we're married. Is that what marriage is about? No, of course, it's an ongoing relationship where I have to spend time with, I have to invest time with her. Have you treated Jesus like someone who you got married to 20 years ago, but you haven't spent time with him? You haven't talked with him? Have you treated being filled with the Spirit as a religious event that just happened in the past? Because that is not the intention of either of those things. Our walk with Jesus, our connection to him, and by being filled with his Spirit, is an ongoing relationship, an ongoing reality. And it's a vital one. It's a life-saving one. I'm not even talking about your life. If you will demonstrate, every nation of Melbourne, if we will demonstrate, if we will commit to having an ongoing relationship of intimacy and connection with Jesus and his Spirit, it's a life-saving relationship for those around you, because you will be empowered to be on the mission. You will be to be on the mission of connecting other people to Jesus. Just like this girl, who's not a Christian yet, who came to our house to have a birthday party and said, you know what, I'm so thankful for you guys. I feel like I belong. I want to ask you this. For you this week, if you are connected to Jesus, the true branch and the true vine, the true vine and the true branch, if you are connected to Jesus, can a lunch with a colleague be a moment of belonging, a moment of empowerment? Can it? Well, yes, of course it can. Spending ringing up a friend who you haven't spoken to in a while, connecting with a family member, inviting a neighbor over to spend some time with you. I've got a poker game this Friday. Can that be a moment of belonging? Can that be a moment of encouraging, of empowerment? Absolutely. I had a poker game last Friday. I lost. Rolly won. He was empowered with my money. but that was a moment of belonging, man. It was worth my $5. This is who we are, Every Nation Melbourne. This is who we are. Can we go out from here and make time to connect with Jesus? Not just on a Sunday, not just in our, you know, the things that we do each day, reading the Bible. I mean, that's part of it, right? But it's actually so much more than that. It's the relational aspect. This is who we are. Can we go out from here and make time to connect to Jesus and time to connect Jesus to others this week? Belonging, significance. We can have that because of Jesus, and we can live, we can offer that to others because of Jesus. So it's the little incident at the back there. I think it's okay. No tears. It's amazing. Oh no, a few. This is who we are. Can we go out from here and make time to connect to Jesus and connect Jesus to others? I think we can. I know you can. And on that note, I'll pass it to Jen. Thanks, Jen.